I'd like to thank God for allowing me this moment in time to be able to proclaim his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I also would like to take the time to thank Brother Brooks, Brother Stroud, and also Brother Floyd Smith, because these men, they're taking precious time out of their lives to teach, to groom young men. And I'm not as young as some of the other guys. I'm low, 42, but I appreciate it nevertheless. I know sometimes we say it over and over again. Every time one of us gets up here to preach, we thank them. Because there's going to come a time that I'm not alive, or one of them may not be alive for me to be able to thank them. So I want to give you your flowers now while I have the time.
Amen.
The time ticking represents, the clock ticking represents time passing away. I read this poem I'd like to share with you. It's called Time's Ticking Away.
Okay.
The pendulum swings in such a perpetual way. It keeps on moving in a continuous sway. The momentum decides time's passing on. A tick on the clock and the moment is gone. The pendulum swings to left and to right. Time's ticking along in mad rhythmic flight. And as it moves onwards, time's ticking away. There's no way of stopping the road to decay.
Okay.
The pendulum swings. Another second goes by. The clock keeps ticking, but time wants to fly. By night and by day, time never stands still. The pendulum swings at time's endless wheel. Time keeps on moving. Time keeps passing us by. And unless you're alive at the second coming of Christ, each tick of the clock brings you closer to your very last breath. It's bringing you closer to your very last heartbeat. It's bringing you closer to death. And it's bringing you closer to the grave. And just like a vapor that appeareth for a little time, your life will vanish away. So I chose this title, A Vapor That Appeareth for a Little While, a Little Time. Time is going to expire on your life. And then it's going to be time to see if everything that we learn in God's word is true. This afternoon, we're going to take a look at the lives of, well, not the lives of, we're going to take a look at two men whose time expired.
Okay.
A rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. So if you will, let's turn to Luke chapter 16, and we'll study verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And if you will read, start at 19 through 21.
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs.
Just crumbs.
Which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
So we find here a poor man and a rich man. Well, we hear this story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The rich versus the poor, the haves and the have-nots. But the world teaches us to strive for riches. So what is it about the rich man that puts him against the poor man? How are their attitudes so different? The attitude of the rich man we see on a daily basis when you turn on the television. I know many of you watch these reality TV shows. We watch the news. We see how the athletes act. We see rich people, even our president's behavior. We see how rich people act. So we know through the scripture, money is not evil. It's the love of money.
Amen.
That is the root of all evil. So we know it's not the money, but it's the attitude of the rich man that God does not like. We see that they are greedy. We see that they're selfish. We see that they're egotistical. We see that they're high-minded. We see that they're self-centered. We see that they have a desire to please themselves at any cost. And if we go to God's word and we hear how the word of God says in Matthew chapter 19 in verses 23 and 24, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It even goes on to say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So it's not the money, it's the rich man's attitude that's going to keep him out of the kingdom of God. So why is it always pitted against the poor man? So let's look at the poor man. Does God like the poor man versus the rich man? Which one does he prefer? So let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 3 through 11. And these are the attitudes that Jesus himself wants us as Christians to have. This is how he wants us to behave. And the very first scripture at verse 3 tells us how he wants us to behave.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
So I don't think this to be a mistake. The very first attitude that Jesus wants us to have is to be poor in spirit. And to be poor in spirit is to be humble and lowly, which is direct opposite of how the rich behave. The total opposite. So the very first attitude that he wants us to have is to be poor in spirit. Because one who isn't poor in spirit will be confident when they mourn. One who is poor in spirit will become meek. One who is poor in spirit will hunger and thirst for righteousness. One who is poor in spirit will be merciful. One who is poor in spirit will be pure in heart. My brothers and sisters who are poor in spirit will also be peacemakers.
Amen.
So I see through the verses, God, Jesus, wants us to have a poor spirit. So let's go back to Luke chapter 16. And 22. But just a moment. If you notice also, the poor man, he did not have a desire to sit at the table with the rich man and eat with him. He simply had a desire just for the crumbs. So a lesson for us as well is to stop striving to be rich. We don't have to be like the rich man. We can be content with what we have. Read on verse 22.
And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
So here we see. Now, the lowly man, who was Lazarus, was carried. The high-minded, the rich man, was buried. We also see that the name of the poor man is Lazarus. But we have no idea the name of the rich man. So if your name is not found in the book of life, your life has no meaning. And your name has no significance if you're not in the book of life.
Amen.
Keep on reading verses 23 and 24.
And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off
and
Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham,
have mercy on me,
and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into
cool
water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented.
I'm in torment
in this flame.
I'm in torment in this flame. I'm in torment in this flame. Now that he's in torment, now he can see Lazarus. He couldn't see Lazarus when he was laid at his gate. He can see Lazarus now that he's in torment. Mm-hmm. Not only can he see Lazarus, now he has to look up his eyes to see Lazarus. When before he looked down upon Lazarus, but now that you're in torment, and Lazarus was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, now you see Lazarus. All the good things that you receive in this life, they mean nothing in this flame. That nice house that you go home to every day, it means nothing in this flame. That nice car that you drive, it means nothing in this flame.
Amen.
The diamonds and pearls that you have in your jewelry box, they mean nothing in this flame. The sharp clothes that you wear every day, they mean nothing in this flame. All the likes that you get on Facebook and Instagram, they mean nothing in this flame. All the selfies that you're taking with celebrities or people that you think are important, they mean nothing in this flame. The flame does not care about the one or two good deeds that you performed in this lifetime.
Mm.
The flame does not care that you gave when the church needed you in this flame. God has prepared a place for his children.
Okay.
And we hear about heaven a lot. But preachers seldomly preach about the other prepared place, a place of torment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is. They will bash us over the head and slash us with the word of God, molding us and correcting us with God's word. But then when we get to the place of torment, they get quiet. When I was a little boy, I heard preaching of hell a lot. And I think it's very important for us to be not only reminded of the cross, to be reminded of the gospel, to be reminded of heaven, the prize we're striving for, but also the place that we plan to miss is hell.
Amen.
So we need to emphasize this to not only us, but our children. Our children are playing video games that are worse than the content in God's word. They're watching movies that are worse than the content in this book. So we need to preach hell.
Amen.
Let's read verse 25.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
So now we see the reversal of fortune here. So we've heard the scripture where God looks on the inside. We know that. But here we actually see it in action. We see that God's word is, you can take it to the bank. So when people are treating you wrong in this lifetime, God knows it. So we have to allow God to take care of vengeance for us. We don't take it in our own hands. So when they're treating us wrong on the job, remember Lazarus. He was lifted up to Abraham's bosom. So when they're treating you bad on the school bus, Bryce and Smith, you just keep doing what God would have you to do, and God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
When on Instagram and Facebook they're cyberbullying, you hold on to God.
Amen.
And let God handle the rest. Mm-hmm. Keep on with verse 26.
And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.
So now once you die, it's too late to have a change of heart. Mm-hmm. It's too late to repent. The condition that you were in at the time of your death,
amen,
is permanent. But you can know while you're living what the status of your soul is. We've been studying it for the last couple of months. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, if you only look in the mirror to the word of God, if you hear the word of God and not be a hearer only, but also do his will, do what the word of God says, you will know for sure your destination after you die. So if the word of God shows you all of the attitudes and behaviors that God wants you to possess, and you chose to hang on to that old person, I'm going to be me, that's just the way I am, I don't care what y'all think about it. If you hold on to that person, then you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, which prepared place you're headed for. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is look into the mirror. Let's keep reading at 27 and 28.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
So don't let the flame torment you into having the right attitude. It's too late. So we see now that he's in the flame, now he has the right attitude, the attitude that he should have had in life. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're alive is the time to pray.
Amen.
Not when you have passed away. Now is the time to evangelize. Now he's dead and he wants to go back and reach his brothers, mm-hmm, to evangelize. Now is the time to restore. Not after you passed away. Amen. Now you want to come back and try to restore. Now is the time to be involved in the ARMS program. Don't wait until we've passed away and now you want to work in the grave. Mm-hmm. It's too late. So the torments was plural. The flame is not the only torment here. If you die knowing that you yourself had the opportunity to obey, but you didn't take advantage of it, it's torment. If you die knowing that you had the opportunity to save brothers and sisters, and you didn't, that's torment. If you die knowing that you could have locked arms with your brothers and sisters in Christ to help keep brothers and sisters in the church and keep them from going out the back door, it's too late when you die. Now, knowing is torment. So now while you're living, instead we must redeem the time that's given to us. Redeem the time, because the days are evil, but not participate in the evil and forget about God's word. Because once that vapor is gone, it's too late. Let's read verse 29.
Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.
So basically what he's saying, the brothers who are alive, they have the word of God through Moses and the prophets. So basically telling me they got the Old Testament. So today, if one dies, those that are alive, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we have James, we have Peter, we have Paul the Apostle, and we also have an unknown writer who wrote Hebrews. But they all are here for us. The dead can't help us. Mm-hmm. We have God's word here for us.
Amen.
And we also have the Old Testament for our learning. So we have everything that we need. All you have to do is hear and obey. Let's keep going with 30 and 31 and bring to a close.
And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
So the rich man reasoning was, if a man came from the dead, if they saw one from the dead, they would surely change and repent and turn to God. Brother Adam Smith did a very excellent job last week on teaching us the love that God has for us.
Okay.
And he went to John chapter 3 and verse 16, where he said, God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later, I believe verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. And the Word lived for about 33 years until the hour came. The hour came where they laid hands on him. They laid hands on the Word. The Word went through trials overnight. Through the trials, they found him guilty. Upon finding him guilty, the Word was scourged. He was beaten so bad to where he was unrecognizable to those that knew him. The Word took part of his cross, and he carried it up Calvary's mountain. At least he tried. He needed help. The Word was bleeding from his body. Then they set a crown of thorns on his head. So now, not only is his body bleeding, but his head is bleeding. But they didn't stop. The Word was then nailed to the cross. They lifted the Word up before all. The word endured the cross for 6 hours. The word died on that cross. Mm-hmm. The word was buried. Oh, but on the third day, the word rose with all power in his hand. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Let me say it again. Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
The same thing that the rich man wanted his brothers to see. We don't have any excuse because Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? So not only do we have the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, we have one that came from the dead. Do you now believe him? So if you believe, here's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to hear the Word of God, the story of the gospel, the fact that the Father sent his Son to die for our sins. He was buried, and he did, in fact, rise on the third day. Upon hearing this story, you must believe it. Believe it to where you must take action. Now you must repent. Repent means I want to turn from the lifestyle I've been living and turn towards God, because God is the only one that can save my soul. So upon repentance, now I must confess. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you may be baptized for the remission of your sins. Time is ticking. If there's anyone in the audience today who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, time is ticking. Today can be your day to obey the gospel. If there's one who has not been redeeming the time, a member of the church, if you've gone astray, now is the time to come back to the church. All we have to do is pray for you.
Amen.
And you'll be restored. So if there's such a one, while time is ticking, please stand as we sing the invitation song.
Amen.